Welcome to the Northeast Christian Podcast. We're so excited that you've decided to check out our weekly messages. We hope that you're challenged and inspired by what you're hearing today. We'd love to have you join us this weekend at one of our campuses or online at northeast.live. For more information on Northeast, visit us at necchurch.org. If you love the Northeast Podcast, subscribe to our channel and leave us a comment or a rating in the Apple Podcast Store.
I loved coaching football. It was maybe one of the favorite things that I've ever done in my life. And I coached my oldest son's football teams from second grade flag all the way up to eighth grade when we were playing tackle. And I loved seeing those young boys grow into men and following that exact same group all the way up. But I also loved the strategy of the game. I loved the designing and the calling of plays. And I'll never forget early on, during that very first season of flag football, my assistant coach, David Yoho, a great New Yorker, he came up to me and he said, "Shreve, we need a playbook. These kids need to have the plays in front of them. Take them home and learn the plays." And so that's exactly what we did. We made a playbook for flag football, and it just had 8 simple offensive plays, 2 defensive plays, and the next year, we got that playbook really down pat and went undefeated in flag football. It was pretty awesome. Then we moved up into tackle, and I will tell you, things got so much more interesting and so much more intricate as preseason we started pouring through play after play where every person knew their block, every person knew their assignment, everybody knew what they were supposed to be doing and why. And we even had a hurry up offense. We had 6 plays we could call from the sideline, no huddle, and we would drill over and over and over and over again on a couple trick plays. And that culminated in one of the greatest victories in United Conference 5th and 6th grade football this world has ever seen, as we beat an undefeated juggernaut with a last-second trick play, the hook and ladder. And it was awesome. That's a moment that I will never forget. Well, after my son got into the 8th grade, I retired from the coaching thing, but I am still engaged in football, not as a designer or caller or coach, but I get to be the chaplain for my alma mater high school, South Oldham. And I love it as Coach Reed lets me come in before the game meal on Fridays, and I get to talk to the whole team about life and football and Jesus, and I know that God uses those moments. And now I gotta say, that's one of my favorite things in the world. But I just wondered what a high school team's playbook would be like. And so I asked Coach Reed, "Coach, could I have a playbook?" And guess what? He gave me one. That's trust, friends. That is trust. And as I look through this, I'm blown away. 35 base run packages, 28 pass plays that you can do. Man, everything so intricate, so detailed. There's no question in my mind how they've been successful over these last few years because they got it figured out. So then I kind of nerded out a little bit and I thought, if that was that impressive, what would a college playbook look like? Well, thanks to Coach Satterfield at the University of Louisville, I got to see one today. Take a look at this beauty. Isn't this crazy? It was so huge. It was awesome to look through this. My friend Chris Morgan at FCA down at U of L got his hands on it for me, and I was so thankful I got to page through that playbook. I mean, hours upon hours upon hours of content in there for those plays. And you know what? Coach Satterfield is known to be this offensive genius, and I got to hold his E equals MC square right there in my hands. And you know what? I also left a little play for him. That hook and ladder, Coach, you use that whenever you want. You're welcome. And I thought that was pretty awesome. But then I got my hands on this. Ladies and gentlemen, the Philadelphia Eagles Pro Offensive Playbook. 2018. Anybody remember what happened? Yeah. Super Bowl champions. This is a championship playbook, friends. Look at this. This is the offense, just the offense. And it is unreal. All those codes they're yelling up at the line, that's in here. All the reads that they have to make, that's in here. Oh, that play in the Super Bowl when the quarterback pitched the ball and then they passed it back to Foles and he ran it in for the touchdown at the end of the second quarter, in here. This is unreal because there's so much detail. It would take hundreds and hundreds of hours to read this, much less memorize it, but that's exactly what those pro players do. Now that is a playbook. Some of you might just be asking, who cares? Who cares? What's the big deal? Well, here's the big deal. No matter what level you play at, whether you're in flag football as a second grader or whether you're playing pro, you need a playbook. Everybody on the team needs to be on the same page. They need to be intentional about exactly what they're doing every play to be the best team they can. And here's the thing we also know. Here at Northeast, at our church, we have Christians playing at every level. We have people who have been playing at this game longer than I have, and they are pros when it comes to following Christ. And their spiritual life is intricate and detailed and intentional in so many ways. And then we know we also have those who are just putting the flags on for the very first time when it comes to following Jesus. And they're just starting off with one basic step, one simple play. But no matter what level you're at, you need to be intentional. You need to be intentional. A moment of honesty. If you were going to describe your spiritual life, is that the word that you would use? Intentional. Because many of us would say we want to have a better prayer life, or we want to read more of God's word, or we want to be at church every week, committed every week. We want to serve somewhere. And even though we have the best intentions don't make us intentional. Many of you started 2021 with a resolution, right? Yep. Well, here we are, 9 weeks, about 2 months in. And how are you doing? If you started with a detailed plan, there's a good chance that you're still doing it. And congratulations, only 43 more weeks to go. But if you just started with an intention, if you said, I want to read my Bible every day, and then you stumbled across a cool plan, you're like, oh, okay, I can do that. And you did good for 2 weeks. And then you woke up that one day and you looked out the window and you saw the sleet and the gloom and your heart just sank. And then you're like, I'll get to it later. And then the kids got crazy. And then the next thing you know, you get to the end of the day and you're like, oh, I didn't do it. Got to do it tomorrow. And then tomorrow you forgot about it completely. And then the next day you go back to your plan and you go, oh no, I'm 3 days behind. I'm so guilty. And now you don't even want to step into it. Now your greatest moment of spiritual growth is liking that scripture on Instagram. Well, you think it was a scripture. It sounded like a scripture and there was a mountain in the background. Can I say this as your friend? That's why. That's why when you look back over years and years of following Jesus, sometimes you look like things have never changed, that you're the same person. Do you remember when you first started following Jesus and you had that zeal, like you had that passion within you and it was like a breakthrough every day? It was like that sin that you have had forever, that lifelong habit busted. That sin you were chained to, broken. That marriage that was on the rocks, it was saved. But then as the newness wore off, so did the changes. And now it's been years and you look back and you haven't seen any. That's why your anger still gets the best of you. That's why you still have that habit that keeps coming back. It's why your fears still are crippling your relationships and your guilt is affecting your joy. That's why. We have every good intention to grow in Christ, but that does not make us intentional. We need more than good intentions. We need a plan. We need a playbook. That's why a couple years ago, we started talking about Love the Ville playbooks. Do you remember these little guys? We challenged everyone at Northeast. If that's their home church, that we want you to be a part of the Love the Ville movement. And that movement unleashes the love of Jesus every day, every body, everywhere. And while that's easy to say, that's a pretty daunting task. How do you unleash love in your home, in your workplace, in your city, and in your church? We wanted to be intentional about how we did that. And we realized that it was going to look different for each person. And so instead of prescribing how to live out this Love the Ville lifestyle, we said, we want you to start asking some questions. We want you to ask God where He wants you to unleash love. And you'll remember one year ago from today, before the world changed, we had what we called Game Day. And it was an entire weekend focused around how we can unleash love in our workplace. And it was awesome as we grouped up in work fields of healthcare, education, creative, and leadership. And we were challenged and encouraged how to live our life, how to live out our faith at work and not get fired, how to start looking for where God is moving and to make His kingdom come even in your cubicle. And it was awesome. And then a few weeks later, everyone was on Zoom. Whew. Well, I don't know about you, but this last year has flipped most things. Where we work from, where we eat, how we socialize, how many days in a row we can wear those same sweatpants. 5 days for me. And thankfully, hopefully, we see a light at the end of the tunnel. And for many of us, we've just been stuck in survival mode. And that's been our reality. But now it's time to do more than just get by. It's time to get intentional. And that's why we're dusting off these playbooks and we're getting back in the game. But you don't have to do it alone. We want to help. Along with the next 2 weekends, I want to encourage you to engage in our 7-day Love the Ville devotionals. It was put together by some of our next level staff who have learned some really useful ways to make the playbook personal, practical, and powerful. In just 1 day a week, about 10 minutes a day, these devotionals will help you think through your home, your workplace, your church, and your city to help you see who God is calling you to. Who do you need to serve, to pray, to love on? Now, you can find that on the link or on a tile on the app, but I really want to encourage you to get in there. Ephesians 5:2 says this. It calls us to live a life filled with love, following the example of Christ. And this does not happen by accident. It happens when we partner with the Holy Spirit and we live intentionally on mission for God. I know that my life has been changed when I have applied my playbook and really focused on it, and it's my hope that yours will change too. So I encourage you, go to that link, get on the 7-day Love the Ville devotional, and let's start getting intentional. Now today, I want to spend the next 21 minutes talking about our Love the Ville playbooks in the church. And to do that, I would love to read a scripture with you as the body of Christ. And I would like to ask you, if you're able, wherever you're watching, to stand and to honor God's word as we read it. Let me read this for you. Romans 12. Therefore, I urge you, brothers and sisters, in view of God's mercy, to offer your bodies as a living sacrifice, holy and pleasing to God. This is your true and proper worship. Do not conform any longer to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good and pleasing and perfect will. For by the grace given me, I say to every one of you, do not think of yourself more highly than you ought, but rather think of yourself with sober judgment in accordance with the faith God has given you. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given to each of us. If your gift is prophesying, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. Love must be sincere. Hate what is evil. Cling to what is good. Be devoted to one another. Honor one another above yourselves. Never be lacking in zeal, but keep your spiritual fervor serving the Lord. Be joyful in hope, patient in affliction, faithful in prayer. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. Do not be proud, but be willing to associate with people of low position. And do not be conceited. Do not repay anyone evil for evil. Be careful to do what is right in the eyes of everyone. And if possible, as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. Do not take my revenge, dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, for it is written, it is mine to avenge. I will repay, says the Lord. On the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good. Thank you for standing. You be seated. You know, this is one of my favorite passages in the whole of Scripture because it puts out this aspirational but attainable goal for what a church should look like. When it is filled with the Holy Spirit, when it comes together, it can be a body working together, loving each other, serving each other, going down through the ups and downs of life and together overcoming evil. And that's the kind of church I want to be a part of. I think that's the kind of church we all want to be a part of. That's the church we hope Northeast is. And in this, we see the people of this church doing three very important things. We see them serving one another, providing for the needs of their community both inside and out, and we see them engaging in next level community. And in Northeast, we call that being a stakeholder. Now, if you're around this church for long, you've probably heard that word stakeholder. Well, what does it mean? That is a fully engaged person in the life of Northeast Christian Church. So why do we call it stakeholder and not member? Well, here's why we like stakeholder. It's someone with skin in the game. It's someone who is fully engaged now, not relying on something they did way back when, but it's someone who is currently advancing the mission of the church today. And to put it simply, a stakeholder at Northeast is engaged in serving, community, and generosity. And I'd like to spend a little bit of time talking about each one of these. Let's start with generosity. Here Paul says, share with the Lord's people who are in need. And one of the most striking things we read about the early church from its very first days is that they put their money where their mouth is. They had just experienced the life-changing resurrection of Jesus, and by that, I mean it changed the way that they lived their lives. Look at Acts 2. It says, they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and to the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and to prayer. Everyone was filled with awe at the many wonders and signs performed by the apostles. All the believers were together and had everything in common. They sold property and possessions to give to anyone who had need. Every day they continued to meet together in the temple courts. Whatever their daily routine was before, it was different now. Every day they met. And notice how they gave to one another. Just two chapters later, the author of Acts circles back around to this and he says, all the believers were one in heart and mind. No one claimed that any of their possessions was their own, but they shared in everything they had. There were no needy persons among them. Is it any wonder this early church grew so quickly and so powerfully? And this practice for caring one another continued on as the church spread. And this is something so many even in our community today, continue. I've said time and time again that this is the most generous church that I've ever seen, and it's true. Even in a time of COVID, a time of unrest, a time of unknowing what the future holds, Northeast came through with a record-breaking Eve offering of $1.6 million to fund our outreach efforts. And that is unbelievable. As the leader of that team, I get to see every day of the week how your generosity, how your passion, how your service, how your heart is really unleashing love and giving us that reputation as the Love the Ville Church in our community. And we could not be more grateful. We can't wait to share with you the rest of the year how you are unleashing love because of that generosity. Now, at the same time, we were able to meet our internal budget that funds the ministry to our families, our ability to gather here together and to gather online, the opportunities that we have to provide care and support for the emotional and mental health of our people. And it makes it possible the essential mission that we've always been given to grow disciples here at Northeast. All your giving makes that possible week to week. So when it comes to unleashing love in the church, what part does generosity play in your playbook? And it should play some part. And hear me, it's not the price of admission, or it's not to build our own kingdoms. I love to be able to say that we operate above reproach when it comes to our money. I grew up in the Bob Cherry School of Finances, and he always told me, before you spend any money, you should be able to put that up on the big screens at church on a weekend and stand by it. And you know what? As I look at what our church has done this past year, how our ministry staff has, with spending very little, done so much more ministry than they ever have, I can say without a doubt that they are making the most of every opportunity. And we thank you for your trust in that. So what is your part? I wanted, 2 Corinthians 9 is true. It says this: remember, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. Whoever sows generously will also reap generously. Each of you should give what you have decided in your heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver, and God is able to bless you abundantly, so that in all things, at all times, having all you need, you will abound in every good work. As Tyler says over and over again, we don't want something from you. We want something for you. And I know that this has been true in my life. Every time that I've been generous, I'm the one that gets filled up. Back in Romans, Paul even goes so far as to say that this giving, that this is a gift. And he says, if your gift is giving, then give generously. And some of you have been blessed with that gift. Well, are you using it for the body? You know, in your playbook, when it comes to generosity, what's your next step? Maybe it's just giving one time. You've never done it. So I challenge you. Maybe give just once and see how you get filled up. Maybe it's starting to give consistently. Maybe it's raising the amount that you give, or maybe you've been blessed with the gift and the means, and it's time to start giving generously. That's all between you and God. And just one more word on generosity, and I'll move on. But this is something that Paul wrote almost 2,000 years ago that was specifically for us here on the east end of the Ville. Write to us. He says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant or to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. You know, stakeholders engage in generosity, and they also engage in community. And isn't that something we all desire today? No matter how introverted we are or how disconnected we sometimes feel, We all need that human interaction to know that we're not in this alone. And it's so much more than just knowing a screen name and to getting a like from someone. It's true community. And isn't it one of the most elusive things today? I heard someone say that one of the most unbelievable things about Jesus in today's culture is that he was a 30-year-old with 12 friends. And that's true. But community is so important, and it's been a part of God's plan for all of us since the very beginning. Even at the very beginning, the Creator God said in the garden, it is not good for man to be alone. He didn't make us to live life on our own, and that's why I love that he gave us this family, this church. And look how Paul says that we're supposed to live towards one another. Be devoted to one another in love. Honor one another above yourselves. Share with the Lord's people who are in need. Practice hospitality. Bless those who persecute you. Bless and do not curse. Rejoice with those who rejoice. Mourn with those who mourn. Live in harmony with one another. And what challenges me about that list is those are all things that I have to be in community with someone to be able to do. How can we share if we don't know the need? How can we show devotion or honor if we don't talk to each other? How can we mourn with others if we don't know what they're going through? Not only do we need the help and support of others just to get through life, but God also uses community to help us to grow into the disciples that he wants us to be. We found that spiritual growth happens best in community, and that could look a lot of different ways. Maybe it's a small group. Maybe it's a one-on-one mentorship. Maybe it's a Bible study or a group of friends that are just really intentional about growing in Christ. I know that I've been blessed to be a part of one of these relationships. I've been meeting with a small group of guys for the last 19 years, and we have been able to just like rejoice together when there's been a win in our lives, when somebody had a kid, something great happens. But we've also been able to mourn with each other when a father passed away, when a spouse got a dire illness, when a kid went astray. And we've also been able to challenge each other. Each of us at just the right time had a friend who was there to call us and challenge us to be the kind of men that God wants us to be. Ecclesiastes says, two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up, but pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Who is that one or three or 12 for you? Maybe you've been wanting to get involved in a group, wanting to do something when it came to community, but you've never taken that step. Well, I want to encourage you to get on the new groups page on our website. I want you to check it out because it does a great job of letting you know about the different types of opportunities we offer when it comes to building community. Our community groups practice this up in and out rhythm of study, growing friendships, and serving together. Our care groups are for seasons when you need help with anxiety, grief, divorce care, or mental health support. They're also for those coming out of the military or if you need help with foster care or adoption. We also have study groups whose focus it is to spend time exploring God's word and applying it. And then there are just connection groups for people who are just looking for a friendship with like-minded folks. Maybe one of those are your next step, and maybe you're not ready yet to meet back in person. Well, I want to encourage you, some of those are meeting online. So take a step, get involved in community. In your playbook, where in the church will you take a step when it comes to community? Where is that? Be thinking about that and praying about it. Stakeholders practice generosity, they engage in community, and they also serve one another. Back to Romans 12. For just as each of us has one body with many members, and these members do not all have the same function, so in Christ, we, though many, form one body, and each member belongs to all the others. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If your gift is prophesying, delivering a message from God, then prophesy in accordance with your faith. If it is serving, then serve. If it is teaching, then teach. If it is to encourage, then give encouragement. If it is giving, then give generously. If it's to lead, do it diligently. If it's to show mercy, do it cheerfully. You know, we have all been given gifts, whether it's something you were born with or something God has given you for a purpose and for a time, or it's something that you've honed over years and years of practice. We all have gifts. And what I love what Paul says here is he challenges us not just to use them, but to use them in big ways. Whatever gift you've been given, use it. Not just for your income or your fame or your future. Use it for the body. And I love that image that he gives us here of the body, because we all understand it. We all understand that we are not whole without all the parts functioning together. And the staff and I get a special honor to see how this church is so much more than the people that you see on your screen or who step up on this stage on a weekend. This place would not be the place it is without Taylor or Chad out in the parking lot making sure people are safe and welcomed. It wouldn't be the place it is without Eric or Steve holding that door open and welcoming you. It wouldn't be the place it is without Kim and Larry and Ringo and Michael and Matt and Jess and Laura, who make this service look and sound awesome. It wouldn't be the place it is without the small group that sent me a handful of encouraging notes this week. It was so sweet. It wouldn't be the place it is without our grief ministry reaching out to the woman who just lost a child. Wouldn't be the place it is without Tammy showing up every day at one of our partners in Portland and serving homeless women. It wouldn't be the same without Emily and Becky, who are chatting with you online right now. And it wouldn't be the same without Brittany over in Northeast Kids, making sure that every child experiences the love of Jesus when they walk in the doors. The body of Christ behind the scenes. It's the one who make this church what it is. One of my favorite things in the world, and this is a weekly occurrence, is when I get to just say thank you to one of these awesome, humble servants. And almost every time, it's like, oh, no, no, thank you. This is my favorite part of my week. One of the best things in life is when you realize that what you've been specially given can be given back in a powerful way. How are you given that here? How are you serving? I love what Rick Warren said. Only you can be you. God designed each of us so that there would be no duplication in the world. No one has the exact same mix of factors that make you unique. That means no one else on earth will ever be able to play the role that God has planned for you. If you don't make your unique contribution to the body of Christ, it won't be made. So where do you need to make your unique contribution here at Northeast? I want to encourage you. We have a brand new serve page. I want you to go there and to find the place where you belong. And hear me, as we're opening back up, there are a lot of opportunities. But to be honest with you, we also have a lot of needs. Maybe you can step in and fill in the gap, and you can help us in a very special way. And just know, we're not asking you for a year-long commitment or to sign your life away. We just need each part to play their part. And maybe there's something there that only you can do. So, stakeholders here do three things. They practice generosity, they engage in community, and they serve one another. So how is that going to reflect in your playbook? How is that going to play a part? So maybe you're coming in here and you are putting your flags on for the first time and you are a new follower of Jesus. Maybe you just need to pick out one of those three. Maybe the thing that needs the most attention. And that's what you go after. You put it in your playbook and you get intentional about it. Or maybe you're up on the next level. And there are two of those that you can go after, and you really feel like you need to make a change in your life when it comes to those two. Or maybe you're at the D1 college level and you can go after all three. And some of you all are pros and you need to go on all three and you need to go big. That is all between you and God. But here's what I challenge you with. Start out small and be very intentional. It's better to do one thing than to write down tons of things and just never get on the field. But get in the game, folks. Get in the game. It's my hope that at the end of this year, we're all able to look back through our playbooks and see how one moment after another, God has changed our life. That we are a different person at the end of the year than we started off being. That we have partnered with the Holy Spirit and we have stayed focused on the mission that God has specifically called each of us to. That we have unleashed love in big ways for His glory. That is the hope that these little playbooks can play a part in making this a church that is not overcome with evil, but we overcome evil with good. Will you be a part of that with us? Let's pray. Dear God, I thank you for this church, and I thank you for the difference that it has made in our community. I thank you for the difference that it's made in my family, in my life. Lord, I pray for us to get intentional. Whatever level we're at, God, we know you love us, but you love us too much to leave us like we are. And so, Lord, I pray that we all get intentional about that next step. And that, Lord, you fill us with an incredible joy as we start to see you making changes in our lives and others' lives. That we are filled up to overflowing as we start to see that your Holy Spirit is making us new. Lord, thank you for loving us and thank you for your Son that brings us into a relationship so we could do that and help us to do it together as a church. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.